We have a remembrance of Allen Ginsberg from our book critic Maureen Corrigan. Ginsberg died over the weekend at the age of 70. Before we hear from Maureen, let's listen to Allen Ginsberg reading from his poem, A Supermarket in California. It was recorded in Berkeley in 1956.
What thoughts I have of you tonight, Walt Whitman. For I walk down the side streets under the trees with a headache, self-conscious, looking at the full moon. In my hungry fatigue and shopping for images, I went into the neon fruit supermarket, dreaming of your enumeration. What peaches and what penumbras, whole families shopping at night, aisles full of husbands, wives in the avocados, babies in the tomatoes, and you, Garcia Lorca, what were you doing down by the watermelon? I saw you, Walt Whitman, childless, lonely old grubber, poking among the meats in the refrigerator and eyeing the grocery boys. I heard you asking questions of each. Who killed the pork chops? What price bananas? Are you my angel?
Whenever I teach poetry courses, I always devote a week to Allen Ginsberg's poems, and I never do a particularly good job. I love Ginsberg, but teaching him is like trying to serve spaghetti with a spatula. Just when you think you've slid your critical utensil under a manageable portion of verse, the lines slither off, back into Ginsberg's big bardic bowl. I always give students the same pep talk before we read Howl. You've just got to let the images wash over you, I plead, really hear the music of the verse. So the students begin reading, but within the first 20 lines of Howl, they encounter as many esoteric references as T.S. Eliot packed into the first few stanzas of The Wasteland. They get bogged down in asking reasonable questions. Who's Carl Solomon? Hydrogen jukebox? What does that mean? Other times, they take my hippy-dippy reading recommendation too much to heart. When students give presentations on Howl, they frequently turn off the lights, burn incense, and make the rest of the class sit cross-legged on the floor. Well, this gets us into the mood, I always think to myself. But are they appreciating the poem, or are they just acting goofy? Periodically, I think about giving up on Ginsberg, but I never will. 4 years ago, I experienced something close to what Ginsberg himself called the ancient heavenly connection to the starry dynamo in the machinery of night. My class then had just read Howl, and a really gifted and cool student named Sean Burns had passionately defended the poem. After class, Sean told me that Ginsberg was giving a reading in Washington later that week, and he was going to try to go to see him. I urged Sean to go. I told him I'd heard Ginsberg many years before in the village, and he was a terrific reader of his own poetry. But that week, I was overwhelmed with work and gave no thought to going to the reading myself. In fact, when Sean showed up at my office a few days later, I was still so harried, I tried to brush him off. "Here, this is for you," he said, thrusting a piece of paper into my hand. It was a program from the poetry reading the previous night. On the back was a drawing in black magic marker of an unhappy Buddha floating in the stars. At his feet was a skull with a flower in its teeth. Above his head was a moon and more stars and the word, "Ah." The drawing was inscribed to me and signed Allen Ginsberg. I talked to him after the reading, Sean explained, and told him about our class and how tough it is to get students into poetry. Ginsberg started drawing this while I was talking. He drew a frowning Buddha, he said, because teaching is hard. Well, if I'd followed the anti-formalist beat precepts that I preach when I teach Howl, I would have stuck that drawing up on my wall with a gob of spittle. Instead, I spent $100 to get it framed. Whenever I look at it, I remember a wonderful student and a great poet teacher who knew, from his own vast experience, how wearying it can be to try to get people to listen. Ginsberg, after all, cast himself in the image of Whitman. He was a street minstrel, a public visionary, whose free verse broadsides sang out about sexual liberation and McCarthyism, supermarkets in California, and libraries full of tears. His images sometimes could be crude and even silly, but those very flaws helped save him from turning into a scold. Besides, like Whitman, he was too comical, too full of democratic faith ever to sound sour. In America, one of his greatest poems, Ginsberg memorably declared, it occurs to me that I am America. To a lot of people, including me, that line was pretty close to the truth.
Maureen Corrigan teaches literature at Georgetown University.